Welcome to the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. Show notes, links, and contact details can be found at robnunphoto.com. That's www.robnunphoto.com. SEL is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and loads of other great tech podcasts can be found over at www.techpodcast.com. Now on with the show. Episode 197 of the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robnunphoto.com, and this is my little audio diary about my journey through the wonderful world of photography. Well, hope everybody's had a great week out there. We've had a little bit of sunshine come back to the UK, which has been great for taking some photographs, especially out in the garden today. It's Sunday, the 1st of July. We've had Valentino over the weekend again, so you might find I slip in the odd yawn. It's also 10 o'clock at night, so I'm recording this one quite late. But what I'll be discussing today is a little comparison I kind of did between an M42 lens I was using as a macro lens, then actually just using my ordinary 55 to 250 Canon EF autofocus image stabilized lens as a macro lens too. We'll have a little word from our sponsor, and then what I'd like to do is do our assignment review for May and June's assignment, which was From a Blank Canvas and The Kiss of the Sun. And then I'll just talk a little bit about next month's assignment, well, this month's assignment, which will be angles and longer shutter speed. So, car boot day today. Kind of. Valentino, he actually stayed. He didn't get up during the night last night, so that was good. But I didn't get the best night's sleep, and neither did Suzanne. And so we kind of skipped going to Bridgemary this morning. But we did go to the car boot sale up at Titchfield, opposite the strawberry field. So that was good. It got us out for an hour, pushing Valentino around in his pushchair looking for bargains, but there wasn't really anything that caught my eye. There was a nice, there was an old Epson photo scanner that I considered buying for a fiver, but passed on that. And then there was the usual assortment of plastic 35mm, but nothing that I thought, it's worth spending any money on. Really, as I say, all I'm looking for now is something that really, something that will catch my eye and be significantly different from the kit I've got. So, you know, we're looking for, well, always looking for trip 35s, but Epics, Stylus Epics, Mew 2s, you know, the holy grail of finding another Leica, like the Z2X that I found. Maybe someone, you know, have like a Hasselblad something like that, or a large format camera that they don't really know what it's worth, and I can pick it up for a song, but I don't know. SLR seem to be a little bit more thin on the ground now. I mean, you don't even see the Praktikas that you see knocking around, but who knows. We'll have to go down to Bridgemary next weekend and see what's going on down there. The bad weather has really hit the car boots in this part of England anyway. It seems to always be raining on a Saturday night, so people don't like going. But enough of that. So today, this afternoon, after Valentino had gone home to his mummies, kind of came back feeling a bit tired, and we went out for a quick walk down to Prydydd to kind of look at the ships and stretch our legs. And it's the kind of route that I've taken many times, but me and Suzanne were just going out for a walk. It wasn't about taking photographs. I took a few shots, but nothing serious. But when we got back, I thought, I fancy doing a bit of macro. I do enjoy a bit of macro photography, looking for insects or flowers and stuff. And I'm not talking about real macro where you're getting in close like a microscope. I'm just talking about sort of where the flower will fill the frame kind of thing. And I have been playing around for a long time. My go-to macro lens was an M42 lens. And they're the screw type ones with a adapter on it that allows you to fit it to Canon autofocus EF bodies like my 350D. And then what you do is you put some extension tubes in between the adapter and the lens, and that brings the focusing distance, the minimum focusing distance, in very, very close. So you get a macro effect. But I was kind of struggling with the 135mm because it's very difficult to focus, because your depth of field is very, very small, and in effect you focus by moving the camera backwards and forwards rather than using the focusing ring. And so I played around with using a 50mm and a 28mm, but they're just too close. And the one lens that I've used very successfully in the past for kind of M42 macro photography was my old, another M42 lens, which is my old Soligor 90-210 f4 zoom. And it's an interesting lens because it's made of metal and it weighs a ton, but it's a fixed f4 aperture. So it doesn't matter what zoom you're at, the maximum aperture is always f4. And the beauty of using a zoom lens with extension tubes is that you focus by using the zoom, so it's a little bit easier to do. But anyway, another reason for doing a bit of this macro was to test these flashes, these Yongnuo flashes that I've got now, and the wireless system, and they do work great. And it's just a case of playing around, because what you can do if you're using flash on macro, one of the things you're fighting, when you're doing macro photography handheld without a tripod, is camera shake and subject shake to a certain extent if it's windy. And when you've got very high magnifications, the chances of camera shake are very, very high. So you have to use a high shutter speed. But the problem is often there isn't that much light down in the plants and things. So it's great to use flash. And the reason why you use flash is that flash can freeze the action. Because although your flash sync speed might only be a 200th of a second, which would be far too slow to avoid camera shake, The actual flash only goes off for like a 10,000th of a second, so it freezes the action if you can set up your aperture and your ISO so that the ambient light doesn't really show up in your picture, so you're just really relying on the flash to light things up. And that's what I was playing around with. And so I used the Soligor with the wireless flash to take some pictures of just some flowers that were in our garden that weren't looking too bedraggled after all the wind and the rain. And I took them up and looked at them on the computer, and they were okay. And then I suddenly thought, well, why on earth haven't I played around with my Canon EF 55-250 zoom lens as a macro? Because when I'm talking macro, I'm not talking the type of macro where you would be using a microscope. This is really just getting in close. And one of the beauties of zoom lenses is that, funnily enough, when they're at their maximum zoom, so when they're at their maximum magnification, say 250mm, you can actually focus still pretty close. And I think on the 55-250, the minimum focusing distance is 1.2 metres, which is pretty damn good when you're at 250mm. It means it blows things up. So I thought, well, why not give it a go? Now, from experience, I knew that when you are doing this, it's best to take the autofocus off, focus manually, because otherwise the autofocus can be hunting all over the place. And I had a go. And using the wireless flash and having the advantage of the fact that the 55-250 is an image stabilized lens as well, I managed to get shots that were as sharp as and as magnified as, which really surprised me, as the Soligor 90-210 with the extension tubes. And that really surprised me. I thought, oh, that is excellent. And it's kind of, what I'll do is I'll do a more in-depth post over on robnumphoto.com over the next week or so, where you can compare the shots, and what they look like. Because for the type of macro photography I do, which is mainly flowers and insects and stuff, the ability to not have to bother with lugging an M42 lens around and just have, just use a 55-250 is really, really good. And it also brings up the ghostly spectre of getting fully automatic extension tubes, and I have seen some on eBay for £50 to £60 that work with the Canon system, and these are extension tubes that allow you to carry on using your auto exposure and auto focus up to a point. I'm not really bothered about auto focus, but the ability to change the aperture in the lens from the body while using extension tubes. So then you could even bring in that focus and distance for that lens even closer. And the beauty with extension tubes, rather than a dedicated macro lens, is they're a lot lighter and an awful lot cheaper. But as I said, keep an eye out for robnumphoto.com for a more in-depth look at it. But in the meantime, if you've got a zoom lens, I take it out into the garden or next time we're on a photo walk, zoom it all the way to its maximum aperture, flick over to manual focus, and then try and focus on stuff that's very close to you, and you may be well surprised at how good a macro lens it is. Just remember to do it in sunlight, or turn your flash on, like on your camera, to freeze that action. Now, next, a word from our sponsor, GoToMeeting. Because as we know, summer's coming, and that means many of us will be spending more time working from home or while travelling. So getting everyone together for a meeting may be an impossible task, but not if you have GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix. GoToMeeting lets you host meetings with clients and colleagues face-to-face, all while online, no matter where they are. And with HD Faces, you just need a webcam to turn your online meetings into group HD video conference. Attendees can join from any computer, iPad, iPhone, or Android device by simply downloading the free app. And everybody who listens to SCL can try GoToMeeting with HD Faces free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Then download the free app for your mobile device. So visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. We thank GoToMeeting for sponsoring the SCL Photography Podcast. So next up, assignment review. And first up, I've got to say that the quality of work for the last 2 months' assignment has been inspirational, to say the least. If you head on over to the Flickr photo group for robnumphoto.com, you'll find a link on the homepage at robnumphoto.com, or look in the show notes. You'll see what I mean. Now, I'm a bit stuck for time today, so I'm going to be a bit naughty and use people's Flickr names rather than digging through and finding out their real names. Now, the ones that I can remember, I will. So apologies in advance, but trust me, everybody who took part in this deserves a big pat on the back for some excellent work that has definitely inspired me to try harder on the next ones. But, okay, so if you want to follow on the discussion, you can go over to robnumphoto.com, find the link to the robnumphoto.com Flickr group, and then find the little assignment thread where people have deposited their photos. And if you haven't done one of these already, remember it's free to join Flickr and take part, but more of that later. So the first two efforts I managed to sneak in, because I took them before I told everybody else about it. The idea of the assignment was you had The Kiss of the Sun, which was to involve some sort of photograph that to do with the sun, and From a Blank Canvas, so something where you would come up with a concept for a photograph and taken it. And my ones, and there's no limit to the number of photographs you do. My one was a shadow across a bench in our back garden, and a still life with some colourful vegetables. So there we go. But let's get on to you guys and girls stuff, which has been really, really good. And Joe, Ika Joe on Flickr, his first ones he put in were not brand new. But to get the ideas going, these were some setup shots I did with a figure model. Now, these little models you can get of like little mannequins that are like Action Man, sort of G.I. Joe size, really are good, aren't they? I'll have to get one, because they allow you to play around with light and shadow and posing a lot simpler and a lot more compliant than a human is. And I really like these. We've got Joe's done a little one with a little flower, one when the mannequin's about to be attacked by a large cat, a big beast, and one where he's watching television. Very nice indeed. Nice little still lifes there. Danny B has done some Transformers in the snow. Like, I do like toys, don't you? I especially like Transformers, and I like the way he's brought these to life by putting them in a realistic environment. And I like the fact that he's got the exposure pretty bang on for the snow as well. It's nice and light, and that's a nice comparison with the colour of Bumblebee and Optimus Prime. Canon Dave has got done a nice one of some flowers, blossoms, and you can see, you know, the shadow on one side and the sun on the other, and then you've got the beautiful pink coming through. Because one of the things photography is all about the play of light over a subject, and if you can bring out the play of light, you bring depth and saturation. You know, you make the picture look three dimensional. Flickr name Rod Painef says, from a blank canvas, I went to the Lock Yacht Club here and looked for an angle on the water that gave a nice reflection. Yesterday morning was completely calm, so the reflection was slightly impressionistic. What we're looking at here is, at first glance, it's a tree. Nice green tree with what looks like a brown building behind it. But it looks like it's been photoshopped. You know, like there's some liquify filters and impressionistic painter filters in Photoshop. It looks like that. But then when you look closer, you realise, no, it hasn't been photoshopped. It's a reflection in the water. Really good. I really enjoy that photo, the way that it makes me look twice at it. And you've got these, again, it's in nice sunlight, so the dappling of the light on the leaves. We've got dark green, we've got light green, and we've got the ochre almost of the building behind. Rod's second two shots, the first one is what he says is, for Kissed by the Sun, I went to my back garden. The dandelion shot was taken at ground level with the lens facing into the sun. Now that's the key, you see. That's the key for some of these Kissed by the Sun shots. And believe me, you know, you watch television, watch the adverts, look in the magazines at these kind of retro-looking, slightly faded lens flare photos. This is what they're doing, and it does bring a fabulous warmth to the photos and a feeling of comfort and summer. The tulip was taken from almost straight above with the sun to my right. Both were taken with my Canon 100mm macro. Ooh, nice lens. So yeah, so the first one is a daisy. We're right down at the daisy's eye level. And the overall contrast of the photo has been reduced because of the glare from the sun. But you get this wonderful atmosphere. And what I like with the second shot with the tulip is we've got Rod's really working the depth of field here. So we've got a lovely, sharp, crisp head of a flower, background totally blown out, totally out of focus, but then we've got all the lovely details in the petals, the yellow and the pink. Moving on, Ron Riggs has got a great picture of a dragonfly resting on top of a bamboo cane. Fantastic, beautiful. You know, he's one of the great keys to wildlife photography is funny enough, is the background. You know, if you're ever trying to photograph birds or animals or insects, look for your background first, then see if your animal can come into it, so that then you get a nice, uncluttered, unbusy background. And this is a perfect example of this. I like the composition with the dragonfly off to one side, and we can see the sun is just laying across the subject. There's beautiful detail in the wings and lovely colours as well. Fantastic capture. Got a couple from Analogical. Sorry, we've got four from Analogical, and really playing on this Kissed by the Sun. We've got shots into the sun, a lovely black and white through some branches of some trees, and we've got dark trees, light trees. And then we've got another warm one of some plants, and we've got the sun coming down. Then we've got another one that we've got a path, a road, with the sun coming through the trees again. We've got God beams, and then we've got this fantastic yellow. I'm not good with plants, am I? But with yellow background as well. They're really. I love this sort of shot. It's so full of atmosphere, and it's such a simple technique that's difficult to master, because, you know, when you're shooting into the sun, you have all sorts of problems with exposure. But, you know, all the examples here are just great. Really, really, really good. Canon Dave's done a nice shadow of his back gate on a wall, nice texture as well. And then he's got a nice one of it's a branch with some leaves hanging off it, very nice there. And then it looks like this is a bit backlit actually, with the light coming through the semi-transparent. And we've got Portrait next by Danny B, very good. And again, we've got a subject, the lady looking towards the camera, the sun is behind her, her hair has got the hair light on it, and it separates her from the background, but it gives you that low contrast, warm 1970s, lovely look. Really is very nice indeed. Well done for that one. Very, very good indeed. Ab has got one of here's one for the Kiss of the Sun assignment, looking down into a burnt out stump on the side of a parking lot while I was waiting for my dear wife. I like the charcoal contrasting against the light bits of gravel someone had thrown in there. I would have liked to use a bit large f-stop to get a bit of longer depth of field of the shot since we're so close to it, but it's still one that I like. Yes, I would agree as well. We've got contrast in the light that's falling across the subject, we've got contrast in the colours and the tones and the textures of the photograph. Very good, very good. You can always reach out and touch them. Gneil 45, Kiss of the Sun at the Cathedral of Boulogne, which towers over the city. I used an iPhone 4 with its sun flare kissing the left-hand side, and you can see these god rays coming in. I turned it to black and white and added a frame in Camera Awesome. As it was a family weekend away, I left my DSLR at home. And as we know, that's no excuse for not taking great photographs. And Gneil 45 here has proved that conclusively. You know, that with the phone, with your camera, if you've got a smartphone, not only can you capture great images, you can apply the software, apply a frame, and share them online. I mean, it really does amaze me. Some of the cameras that are coming out soon, some of the camera phones and compacts, with the fact that they can connect to the web and stuff via Wi-Fi, but especially the phones, I wouldn't be surprised in 2 years' time, you know, we'll be playing around with camera phones that are, well, I think some of them are better than my DSLR anyway at the moment with the old 350D, but they really are fabulous pieces of kit. Dead Pixel, From a Blank Canvas. These were shot at my local camera club. The assignment was reflections. And what we've got here, really unusual, very good. We've got, I think it's a hard disk platter, very, very shiny. And then the reflection is some photographs and what looks like a compact flash card as well. That kind of brings me on to another little subject. Whenever you join robinonphoto.com, if you see any of my photos or my things, you know, add me as a contact. I will always do my best to add you. I'm just adding Dead Pixels of contact now. Add contact, dunk, and that way, you know, you can see any stuff that I bring up, and I can stuff you see your stuff that comes up as well. Now we're down to Canon Dave. Oh, very nice. Spotted this beauty sunbathing while I was cutting the grass. No, if it's a butterfly. Luckily, she waited while I fetched the camera. Must be kissed by the sun. Can anybody identify? I don't know, but I do know that the contrast of the green leaves and the red wings of the butterfly work very, very well indeed. And again, similarly with the photo of the, I think it's a bee, looks like a honey bee, and some lovely pink flowers underneath. Very, very good. Dead Pixel comes in with another one. This is something looks like a lily, which is backlit by the sun. Great technique, backlighting, really fabulous. Controlled the exposure well, as you know, you can still see detail in the lilies. And down to Joe again, From a Blank Canvas, using Photoshop as my canvas. And what we've got up here is a picture of a young lady in a rather fetching light vinyl suit, or it could be leather, looking very much like Purdy from the Avengers. And Joe's kind of cut her out from the original background, and then the new background is an enlarged version but more opaque version of her. So what he says was, using Photoshop as my canvas, I took a picture I took at Comic-Con a few weeks ago in Philadelphia and transformed it to be more graphic. I used several layers to remove subject from background and blend other images together to make this final photo excellent. Very good indeed. Great subject too. You know, the I think it's who was it? It was Joe. who's that famous Nikon photographer who worked for Life and is much into the flash stuff now, isn't he? He's like one of the strobists. Gosh, it's terrible, isn't it? I can't remember anybody's name. You put me under pressure and I'll never remember their name. Joe McNally, that's it. You know, he said, you know, if you want to take more interesting photos, stand in front of more interesting subjects or go to more interesting places. And it looks like Joe found a very interesting place to take photographs indeed. Janelle 45, kiss of the sun. While taking photos at London Heathrow, the sun popped out from behind the clouds and clipped the top of this American Boeing 777 landing. And you can see just above the cockpit on the shiny chrome-like body of the jetliner, we've got the sun reflecting off it. Beautiful. And finally, we've got Joe again. A lovely young lady at the Mermaid Parade at Coney Island, New York. Let me pose her for a kiss of the sunshot. I love the way her umbrella shades her and just let a bit of the light in. Very good, because I guess she's lit from camera left and back. So the sun's kind of shining down on her hair. So you've got a nice rim light or hair light effect. And you've got the light on her shoulder. And a nice pose. Doesn't look posed at all as well. Very, very good indeed. So there we go. Fabulous work, everybody. Really, really impressed. Very inspirational stuff for me. And I hope you too. And I really hope as well that maybe while capturing these photographs, you've tried new techniques or had to think about new things which will improve or develop your photo and photos in your photography as a whole. So next month's assignment, which will be for July and August, double one again, so you can play around with whatever you like, is shutter speeds and angles. And I'm thinking longer shutter speeds. It's about, we're all very good at using our cameras to freeze time, aren't we? But let's use our shutter speeds to show up a little bit of time in our photos, whichever way you want to be. This could be light trails, blurs, motion blur, camera blur, whatever you want to do. And also some funky angles. You know, let's have a look. Let's see what we can do with angles. Let's not be slaves to the perpendicular. Let's see what we can do with a bit of a Dutch angle. You know, cranking it over and just pushing that envelope so that when we go back to our inverted commas normal photography, some of this is rubbed off too. And if it's not up by the time you listen to this podcast, I'll put that new Flickr assignment thread as soon as I can. Well, thanks to everybody on the Flickr group for putting their photographs in the pool and taking part in the assignment. Thanks to everybody for commenting on rubnowphoto.com. Thanks to Everyday Jones, who do the intro and outro music. You can find their stuff for free download at everydayjones.com. But most of all, thanks to you for downloading and listening to the podcast. My name's Rob from rubnowphoto.com, and hopefully pretty soon I'll see you on Flickr. Thank you.